Every Monday at this time, we check in with the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. This week, that means we get the pleasure of chatting with Mary Beth Hughes as a number of educational bills are making their way through the legislative process. Mary Beth, good morning. Welcome back. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. It's been a while.
It has been a little bit too long, actually. We got so much to talk about this morning. Where do you want to start? Because there's a couple of different bills that I know Lobby is looking at that find very intriguing.
Yeah, we have. Okay, so today's a stacked day. We have a lot going on today, but all good things. So I guess let's start with the bill closest to the governor's desk, I would say, which is HB 78 by our good friend Kim Carver. It has made its way through the process, really flown through the process. This is the corporate charter bill, which would make it easier for corporate charters to be authorized rather than going to their local school board. They still have the option to go to their local school board to get authorized, but it would also allow them to apply as a Type 2 charter to BSEE. So the reason this bill is important is because most corporate charters serve regions rather than just their local school district and on their local school district boundaries. So they serve kids from multiple parishes. So if you're, let's say, I'll give Woman's Hospital as an example. They have a corporate charter school on their grounds called BASIS. Mm-hmm. They have employees from Livingston, Ascension, East Baton Rouge, multiple parishes. So their employees are allotted spots at this corporate charter school. So when they go to work, they can just drop their kid off at school, which is on the campus of Woman's. So right now, it makes it more difficult for corporate charters to get authorized because they have to go to their local district, and they're only allowed to serve students in that district. So you have BASIS, for example, which can't serve kids from Livingston, Ascension, other parishes. So their parents are going to work every day looking at this school where they can't send their kids to. You know, this is just a streamlining bill. It makes it easier for kids to get the education options that they need and that they want. And it also, we've been a very strong supporter of corporate charters historically because it provides an innovative way for businesses and education to merge and just provide some really cool and unique opportunities for students.
What would be the opposition to this? Because I would imagine the district where the school is located wouldn't have a problem with it. Would the opposition be coming from the district where the student physically lives?
You'd be surprised.
So, really?
I think so. Thankfully, this bill and Kirk Talbot's SB 47, which they're the same, essentially the same bill. Senator Talbot brought it last year. They've pretty much flown through the process. The opposition comes mainly from the local school boards, in the sense that they, you know, want to have a little more control as to what gets approved and what doesn't. And we just say, look, these corporate charters have the option to still get approved as a Type 1 through their local school board. But if you're a charter that serves more regionally, you want to be able to serve those kids. And so to us, it's a no-brainer. And it should be up. Our friend Kim Carver's bill is up today on the Senate. So next stop is the governor's desk if it passes today. So we're excited.
Yeah, I can't imagine a scenario in which it wouldn't, because at the end of the day, like, fighting this bill, it's tilting at windmills here. I mean,
right?
I don't understand who the fight would be against. It's just who are you speaking on behalf of? If you're against this bill, who are you speaking on behalf of? That's my question, and it doesn't seem to make sense.
Right. No, I completely agree, and you know, we've consistently seen the opposition come from the local school boards. The argument is, oh, you're skirting local control, but it's really not. It's not a local issue. This is a regional issue, and honestly, it just makes it just streamlines the process. So we think it removes a lot of hurdles as far as corporate charter authorization. And I just want to add that, so we only have 4 corporate charter partnerships across the state, and each one of those has a waiting list of over 1,000. So if you can imagine, once this bill passes, and how much easier it is for corporations to say, oh, maybe I should have a school on my campus, that would be a huge employee retention tool and a workforce development tool as well. So I think that once this bill passes, we're going to see the corporate charters pop up all over the state and hopefully get to serve many more kids.
Yeah, and the corporate charter concept I find amazing, because the few examples that we have of it right now are so just directly applicable to our future workforce.
Oh, it's so cool, Brian. And if you haven't done this before, hey, you can come on a tour with us. But we've done a lot of work with these corporate charters, and to see the innovation and the totally unique learning experience that a lot of these schools have, it's so cool to see. And I just want to add that a lot of this isn't just for the employees of these corporations. So how it works is a corporate charter partnership. Each corporation is allotted up to 50% of seats in that school, but the rest of the seats are open to any child in that in the region. So this isn't just, okay, if you work for Women's, you have this opportunity. It's a regional thing. And so any family, I believe it's a lottery system. So you can still, you know, you'd have to enter the lottery, but it just opens up so many different opportunities for the region as a whole, not just employees of that corporation.
We're talking with Mary Beth Hughes from the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. You can learn more about them at labi.org. Another bill up in front of the full Senate, and I do want to make sure we touch on this one, is by Representative Jason Hughes, requires a computer science course in order to graduate. This is one that, when I first heard about it, not literally but figuratively, slapped my forehead saying, how was this not already a thing?
Right? No, our Jason Hughes is such a champion for education, and we've done some great work with him over the years. But us too, you know, when we heard this idea, it's like, wait, why is this not already a requirement? And I just want to point out that Representative Hughes's bill provides a lot of flexibility to parents as they choose courses for their child. Mm-hmm. Computer science can be substituted for a number of requirements that are already in place. So we think it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's 2024, Brian, and I think you've said that before, like, it's 2024. We've got that has to be a priority because companies and a lot of lobby members are looking for computer science literacy candidates to hire. Another bill I just want to mention real quick, another bill that Representative Hughes has going through the process right now is actually up in appropriations today at noon. It's the increase to the Steve Carter Literacy Program,
ooh,
which has seen huge success in the kids that are in this program. And so it changes the name actually to the Steve Carter Education Program. So math will now be included, and it provides much needed tutoring and services to kids who are struggling. So that bill is up today as well. So Representative Hughes is having an awesome session, I'd say.
Yeah, he is, to be sure. This increase to the program, does this help extend it out? Because I know there was some concern when they first launched it. We had Scott McKnight was championing this thing not long mm-hmm. ago. There was some concern that, you know, looking to the future, it would kind of be up in the air. Is this a little more firm footing for the program itself?
It is. So when this was originally passed a few years ago, the legislature passed the legislation, but they didn't actually fund it. So the Department of Education had to go in and move some things around to fund this program. So this would be funded by the legislature this year. It would increase the funding from $1,000 per student to $1,500 per student. And I think that part of the problem was just awareness. Families didn't know that this was accessible to them. Businesses didn't know this was accessible to them. And so I think that moving forward, there's going to be much more of an awareness and messaging campaign around this. But Dr. Brumley has really championed this program. And I think that in increasing the funding, we're going to see a lot more kids get the help that they need. And so, you know, we're excited about that. We've been a strong supporter of that. And then I also want to mention, we have so much education stuff, Brian. It's been too long since we've caught up. But today in appropriations, Kim Carver also has his bill up to create a K-3 math screener. As you remember, last year, then Representative Richard Nelson passed a K-3 literacy screener, yes, which we have seen such growth through that process as well. So both bills are up today at 12 in appropriations. And so we hope we can get those across the finish line today.
What else are we looking at?
So the other thing I want to mention that's not legislature related is the new accountability formula. So we most likely, if I had to guess, we would see maybe a proposal for the new accountability formula today at 1. Bessie's Accountability Council meets to discuss the possibility of a new formula. I know that in the April Bessie meeting, the Bessie board voted to create a new accountability structure. As you know, the accountability system right now is very complicated. Even seasoned educators can't understand this formula. And so I know that Dr. Brumley, along with the BSEE board, has been working diligently to figure out the best alternative, looking at other states and how they do accountability. And so I think that hopefully we'll get some good details today. I don't really know what we can expect, but when it comes to accountability, Lobby has championed work-based learning, a much bigger focus on work-based learning and how it applies to school accountability scores. And so I think that, hopefully some big news comes out today. We'll see, but lots of positive movement on the education front at the legislature and at BSEE.
Yeah, and we kind of get in the weeds when it comes to overall school accountability because there's so many different factors that enter into an equation that no one person is in charge of all of it, right?
Right.
So how do you take an overall score when there's so many different, I don't want to say excuses, but we could say reasons, so many different variables that go into it. So this will be a good thing to keep an eye on.
Yeah, we'll have to come back on and discuss once it's released. But I think we're really excited. You know, Dr. Brumley has done a great job in consulting national organizations, but also just looking at other states on what they do well and what we can change. And so I think the overarching thing that, tells me we need an accountability formula is 75% of Louisiana schools are A or B, and we're 41st in the nation in education. So how does that add up, you know?
Right.
So no question. I mean, there's broad agreement across the board that we need a new system. It's just a matter of how we get there. So we'll continue to champion work-based learning because that's what our members want. They want kids coming out of high school that are ready to go to work.
A or B schools, and we're 41st in the nation. Talk about math that does not add up. She is
right.
Mary Beth Hughes from LABI. Yeah, let's make it not so long before you're back on again. We always appreciate the time.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Brian.